for April 23rd, 2007. It's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
It's episode 57 of the Lullabot Drupal Podcast. We get together on a semi-weekly basis to discuss Drupal, your favorite content management system and web application framework and dessert topping. You know, we really need to do like an intro to Drupal. What is Drupal Podcast? And just kind of, cause, you know, we started that. We did a couple, like some of the early podcasts were like, what is Drupal? And I think that some of that information is perhaps out of date. I wonder about that. I mean, people come and they send us emails, say, oh, I just started listening to your podcast. I've listened to all 50 podcasts so far. And I think, oh my God, what did we say in some of those older podcasts? But we should do like just a intro podcast, like sometime. Drupal, like, ideas and stuff, right?
For example, Drupal is no longer steam-powered.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Not all that coal burning. Now it's clean, biofuel.
Solar-powered and wind-powered.
Wind-powered. Powered by wind.
Happy Earth Day.
Happy, it is, it's Earth Day as we're recording this. How apt? How apt is that?
Works for me.
Yeah. And, yeah, so I'm Jeff Robbins, and I'm here with the Lullabot team, including...
Angie Byron.
And...
Nate Howe.
And...
Jeff Eaton.
As well as...
Addie Berry.
And also...
James Walker.
Well, there you go. So I gotta mention, I mean, we should mention this every podcast, but we don't mention it every podcast, because we're slackers, and by slackers I mean me. If you ever have a question for the Lullabot Podcast, you can call 877-LULLABOT plus 1-877-585-5226. It's a free call from anywhere in North America, and I think it's, you can call it from Skype or Gizmo or any of those VoIP kind of services, just press the right keys to leave us a message as a question, or you can also do an intro. We have people do the little intro at the beginning. That's always fun.
Quite often better than we do.
Yeah, lots of times better, and with more exciting accents than we have. And so I want to encourage people to call us. We'd love to hear from you. Announcements?
Yeah, so workshops. We are lining up our week-long workshops, sort of one a month, going into and through the summer. So coming up most immediately, May 5th to May 9th in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We've got a full week, starting the week with theming, so looking at kind of making Drupal look not like Drupal, and then we'll spend the last half of the week covering the APIs and learning a bit about module development, so making Drupal do more stuff than Drupal does. So it should be a really exciting week, and it's going to be just a fun week in Minneapolis in general for Drupal stuff. So there's a search sprint happening over the weekend following it, as well as a Minnesota bar camp will be happening over the weekend, the 9th, 10th, and 11th, that will have strong Drupal representation. The bar camp isn't exclusively a Drupal event, but there will be lots of local Drupalers there. So it should be a pretty fun week. We're definitely looking forward to it. So after Minneapolis, then in June, we'll be in my hometown of Toronto, which I'm pretty excited about because I can actually ride my bike to work in the morning. That's pretty cool. So that'll be June 9th to the 13th. Registration just opened this week for that. And that week we're going to do a workshop that we haven't done in a while, which we call our Drupal Intensive. And it's a really good kind of crash course in getting up to speed with Drupal, learning how to, you know, put pieces together and you know, master the admin interface and really kind of get your head around Drupal without getting into the code. So, you know, we spend a lot of time with CCK and views and how to kind of piece the bits of the 3,000 contributed modules together into making a Drupal site that works well. So we'll start the week with Drupal intensives, and then the second half of the week in Toronto will be, again, the API and module development. So we'll see a lot of the local developers as well as people from non-local. Anybody wanting to come to Canada in June, it's a good time.
Good time to go to Toronto.
The snow is officially all melted.
Better than January.
It's being here in January. So it should be fun. I'm actually really excited about the venue that we've got for Toronto. So those who know Toronto will be at the Drake Hotel, which is kind of a funky spot on Toronto's Queen West. Should be pretty cool. And then after that, registration not yet open, but will be shortly. We're headed back to one of our favorites, Providence, Rhode Island, in July. So we'll be there July 7th to the 11th, doing intensive and then theming for the rest of that week. So that should be fun. More information will be coming on that one shortly. So yeah, pretty fast and furious on the workshop.
Lots of workshops, yeah. So just to sum up, Minneapolis, May 5th to 9th, yep. Toronto, June 9th through 13th, and Providence, July 7th through 11th. Slightly different agenda, different workshops, but you can find out about all of that at lullabot.com/training. And get on the mailing list at lullabot.com to find out about further upcoming ones, including Providence, which actually isn't up there yet, but will be soon. So, and Minneapolis is coming up quick, so if you want to get in for that one, go, hurry, now, sign up, quick!
Yeah, we do have a couple spots left in Minneapolis, but they are going rather quickly. So if you're on the fence, that one's probably going to sell out shortly. So
cool.
Rather than later.
Right on. Other news, the next DrupalCon got announced. I guess we mentioned that on the last... Did we mention that on the last podcast? I don't know, but there's more details. So anybody want to talk about that one?
Sure, I can take that one.
Can anyone pronounce the city location?
Yeah.
It sounds sort of like... Do you remember those old Sega commercials where the guy had his belly out and he was moving it like a mouth and it said, Sega! It was like that. So basically, that's how you pronounce it. They have a little link to a Wikipedia, thingy. But
so you pronounce it Sega?
Seget.
Oh, Seget. Okay.
Yeah.
It's spelled Szeged, and it is in Hungary.
Yes. It's sort of like a little rural town, but it's kind of neat because basically what they're organizing is essentially Drupal. The Drupal community is going to take over that entire town for 4 days, which is pretty cool. And they're doing it at the same time as there's this sort of Woodstockish sort of music festival, so there'd be a bunch of
hippies?
You know, off-site. Yeah, a bunch of hippies, a bunch of smelly hippies. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway.
That's pretty much the Drupal community right there.
Yeah, so if we all get along great. It'll be awesome. And they're planning a lot of sort of family events, so if you have a loved one who for some reason doesn't share your enthusiasm about Drupal, I don't know why why you would have such a loved one. But anyway, there would be stuff for them to do as well. Right now there's a logo contest going on where you can submit. They even have suggestions on, what might be in a good logo and what the Szeged, region is famous for and stuff like that. So check it out, DrupalCon.org, which will redirect you to the right place.
Oh, and in the...
Also available from DrupalTown.org.
Oh, yes, right.
They're dubbing the Szeged.
It's gonna become the Drupal Town for the
Drupal Town for the week.
baby. But there's also the logo contest is up and going now. So, and submissions for that are due by May 16th. And then once all of the submissions are in, there will be a week of community voting. And then the organizers will pick the winning logo. So if you want to create a logo for it, you should get on that quickly.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, and the actual dates are August 27th through the 30th. And there may be some events before or after that, depending on as it gets closer, maybe a code fest, maybe some training, something like that.
If you love Drupal and you want to go to Hungary, then this is it for you.
But it is kind of cool because... Oh, sorry.
Are you hungry for Drupal?
Are you hungry for Drupal?
That's nice. I'm going to make a logo about that.
I'm Hungarian for Drupal.
No, but it's cool because the European... For anyone who attended DrupalCon Boston, the European DrupalCons have a little bit of a different feel.
Yes, you know, it's much more je ne sais quoi.
It's a much, you know, generally less glitzy and a little bit more like, you know, like people getting stuff done, you know, kind of thing. I don't know.
Maybe that's unlike the Americans.
Unlike your silly Americans. Moving along! No, I'm just kidding. But it is more like, you know, there tends to be more of a focus on working groups than on promotion and stuff like that. But I mean, we'll see how this one turns out. But anyway, they're off to a good start. I'm really happy about it and excited to hopefully go.
Excited about going to Hungary, too.
Yeah.
I actually, you know, I'd love to take at least a few days and just sort of travel around. It's being in the U.S. whenever I go to a European country, I'm always like, oh, look, it's so small. Like, you can, you know, travel other areas of the country within a day or something. So, it's so cute. But, yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it. I think it's going to be, I'm excited. I just had my birthday and my family bought me a Learn Hungarian book and CD. So,
I know who I'm hanging around with.
I'm getting ready, all right?
Hungary is awesome, too, because it, like, proportion-wise of, like, fantastic Drupal developers, it's like a, I don't know, 1-to-2 ratio or something like that. Because like, you've got Chicks, you've got Gabor, you've got Snufkin, one of our
Crystal.
Summer of Code. Yep, Crystal. It's just like, wow, there's... lots of Drupal talent out there and lots of really passionate Drupal community, so it should be a lot of fun.
Awesome. We should give an update on the various Lullabot media items in the works. We announced on our website about a month ago the Lullabot DVD and Lullabot DVD series that we're working on. And the first DVD in the series is called Understanding Drupal. And it's looking really good, but it's still coming along. Kent Bai is heading up editing of that, and he's you know, like how Francis Ford Coppola, you know, you wouldn't expect him to put out anything, you know, that wasn't like perfect. We're working on it, so it's coming along. It's coming along well, but
are you implying we're going to win an Oscar?
Well. I'm implying that Kent is growing a big beard and forgetting to shower. Just, you know, it's, what is important isn't, you know.
But who the, among us isn't growing
art,
a big beard?
The art is the important thing. And anyway, so it should be finished in a few weeks. Again, go to lullabot.com, get on the mailing list, and we will let you know when it is available for purchase. But we're really excited about this DVD and the whole series, and I think it's going to be good stuff.
What would you say is, like, the perfect person to, like, get this DVD? Like, who would be there?
Well, if you're, for instance, listening to this podcast, this DVD is for you.
Actually, I like to think of... the Understanding Drupal actually is not for you, but for your boss.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's a...
Well, really, it's for your boss, it's for your friends, your relatives, everybody you know, pretty much.
Well, we're attempting to sort of explain kind of what is Drupal, right? You know, and to some extent, the glossary of words around Drupal, what's a node, taxonomy... all that kind of stuff, but then also kind of understanding the community and understanding the sort of basic concepts behind Drupal, and all that kind of stuff. And it's sort of done in a interviewing kind of documentary style. That's really interesting. I don't know. I think it's what I've seen at least is sort of like, ooh, wow, Drupal sounds really cool.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it's definitely for people who have, you know, even people who have been using Drupal, I remember when I first started, there was a lot of stuff that stayed fuzzy for a long time.
Yeah.
For me. And, you know, this is like covering stuff, you know, things about talking about like the basic concepts of things like nodes and taxonomy and stuff to try and give it some perspective and a bigger view picture of it. I would have found immensely helpful, even after using Drupal for the first few months. Because I didn't really get it. I just was doing stuff and I knew that it worked, but I didn't quite understand why or how. So I think that it's still a really useful video for people who are even in there using it, but it, you know, there's just lots of pieces sort of floating around that don't make sense, and it'll hopefully this video is going to bring it together for people.
Speaking of bringing it together for people, we're also working on an O'Reilly book. The book has a title now.
Oh my God, the book has a title.
I know! We believe it has a title. I still, when the book actually comes out and I can hold it in my hand, then I will believe, this is the title. This is the final title.
We've had some title issues with our book, if you can't guess from our excitement over this fact.
Angie, what's the current title of the book?
So the book title is Drupal Jumpstart. And then the subtitle is something like configuring or using Drupal modules to configure dynamic websites or something like that. Basically, the premise is, because we haven't talked about the book in a while, but we have been working really hard on it, the premise is that this book is going to teach you how far you can get in Drupal by configuring various contributed modules. And I think in total we're covering something like, I want to say like 50 contributed modules, how to use CCK and views in addition to a couple other modules and build, like, say, an image gallery or our product review website and stuff like that. So it's something that I see requests for on the forums pretty much weekly. People are really looking for a resource like that. So we're really excited to get it out there and you know, get it ready. The one holdup is there, you know, obviously there's some Drupal 6 modules not quite ready yet. So once we get the first drafts done, you know, we'll focus on trying to get that stuff all in order and stuff. But probably looking at around October or November for a release. We don't really, you know, kind of depends on a few different things. But I'm really, really excited about it. Every single one of the Lullabots is working on it. Jeff Robbins, myself, Addy, Nate, Jeff Eaton, and James are all writing the book chapters. Matt Westgate is technical reviewing the chapters and making sure they all work and stuff like that. Liza, Haley, Tim keep us paid while we're writing the book, and Kent provides us with, you know, many, many useful resources and stuff when we're going through. So, it's a real big team effort, and I'm really, really excited for it to be done, but also just to get it out there as a community resource.
Yeah, I mean, one of the titles that we were sort of experimenting with was calling it Code Free Drupal, which I'm not sure that's totally true, but basically, you know, it's sort of, we're taking a code-free approach. So unlike some of the other Drupal books that are out there, that kind of get more into the APIs and, maybe theming, you know, and kind of get really deep and dirty with like PHP code and stuff. This is really more about just taking modules and installing them and then configuring them, without needing to do any coding. The Drupal intensive workshop that we do is basically sort of the same sort of approach. I mean, it's like, would you set up a site? I mean, in past workshops, we built Flickr using Drupal, but basically just installing modules and then configuring them and stuff like that. That was fun and rewarding. And so this book basically takes that approach, but each chapter is like a different type of website. So We're excited about
it. And it's neat, too, because even if you know Drupal pretty well, chances are you haven't had a chance to play around with all 50 of these modules, and maybe you don't understand how organic groups, for example, works. So you can read the chapter about that, and each chapter kind of goes through a case study where we describe a fictitious client and their needs. And then we talk about, like, okay, what modules are we going to choose to solve these problems, and why are we picking one module over the other, which is a... One part of the book I think is really important, because that's probably the thing that people struggle with most in Drupal, is that it's not that there aren't solutions to problems, it's that there's too many solutions, and which one do you choose and why? So a big part of the book is kind of explaining, you know, why one module makes more sense in certain areas than another. And then we also go into detail about, like, well, what is CCK? How does CCK actually work? What can you do with it? And we do that sort of, like, you know, sort of in-depth, talk about any of the major modules covered in each chapter, and then break into, like, a recipe section where it's like, okay, let's actually build this site for this client. So click here and do this and that sort of stuff, so that basically people can, you know, all in addition to getting the information about the modules, also, like, see how they work in a hands-on way. So
of course. People can't actually get the book until it comes out, which is going to be September, October, November-ish, something like that. So,
all-ish.
Sorry to tease.
Yeah. but we're just really excited because on our end of things, like, we have to have the book turned in a couple of weeks, and so we're like, oh God, we're going to be done writing it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really hard. I mean, and so that's sort of a little bit of the topic of this podcast. We wanted to talk about just sort of like moving to Drupal 6 and when to, you know, what modules are getting towards Drupal 6. And the book we're basing on Drupal 6, but some of the modules like CCK and Views and panels module and some other things, these big modules like that are kind of making slow progress towards Drupal 6, and so it's difficult, like, writing about them. And then also people rewrite their interface and
modules changing underneath you. You're like,
yeah,
wait,
it's a moving target. Yeah, I mean, it's a moving target for anyone building a Drupal site. You know, Drupal developers. It's exciting. But maybe a little nauseating, I guess. there are a few other Drupal books that have come out recently or are sort of in the works. I don't know too much about these. I know, does anybody know anything about Aaron Winborn's book?
As a matter of fact, as the technical reviewer for it, I do.
Well, there you go.
So Aaron Winborn of Advomatic is writing a book about generally multimedia handling in Drupal, because as anybody who's tried to do it knows, there's more than one way to skin that cat. So basically he's going through, the three kind of most popular media types, images/photos, audio, and then finally video, and basically outlining, a bunch of, basically what are the options, why you'd pick some over the others, and how to, get them set up, configured, installed. So I've seen the first four chapters, and it's looking good, coming along. I don't know the release date, but it's coming out on Pact Publishing.
Pact Publishing. Do we know the title?
I think it's just called Drupal Multimedia. That's how they've been referring to it. I don't know if that's a final title.
Huh. Yeah, I'm always excited. I was saying, Addy and I were talking recently, and we were talking about, like, writing a book and other people writing books, and how just the process of writing the book improves the software, improves Drupal itself. Like the fact that Aaron, who is incidentally, a developer with Advomatic and has written the embedded media field, module, is writing a book about media handling means, like, ooh, he's got the whole thought process worked out, right? He not only has written this stuff, but he can explain it and it works, and he can talk about it, like, say, this is what you do to make it work, And, unlike some of the other stuff that might be out there, it's that process. I mean, like, I'm writing the theming chapter for our book, and it becomes exceedingly clear where some of Drupal's weaknesses are, where, you know, when you're taking like 10, 20 pages to try and explain something that really ought to be more simple, it occurs to you like, maybe it would just be easier to rewrite the user interface for this so that it was easier to explain to people.
We see that all the time in our workshops.
Yeah, well, I mean, to some extent, the theme developer module kind of came out of that, right? I mean, I was thinking about how hard it was to explain theming stuff to people, and then I got to talking with Moshe about, you know, he was doing some similar kinds of work, and we ended up collaborating on the theme developer module to make it clearer what was happening with the theming calls in your Drupal stuff, which makes it easier to teach. You know, you say, oh, just launch this thing, and here you go. Here's the theme functions that are called.
Books cool. Improved people in more ways than one.
Yeah. Other books, anybody want to talk about the other books we have here listed?
I haven't actually gotten my hands on any of them. I just know that there was a front page post about David Mercer's Building Powerful and Robust Websites with Drupal 6, which is basically a Drupal intro that covers all of the basics about Drupal core. It does in this actually cover CCK as well, but that's the only contrib it covers as far as I know. It doesn't cover views or anything else. Like I said, I haven't actually picked it up, but there are a few, there's some discussion and reviews on the front page post on Drupal.org about it for people who want to get a little more information. I also just saw that Michael Peacock, who I do not know, I'm not familiar with, just put out a book on selling online with Drupal e-commerce, which I had not heard about and hasn't been announced officially on Drupal.org anywhere. But apparently that one covers e-commerce and Civi CRM modules. And then there is another one that is coming out apparently next month. By Matt Butcher, who, again, I do not know who that one is, who the person is, but and it's Learning Drupal 6 Module Development. And I'm not sure how that's going to compare to the Pro Drupal Development book, which has a Drupal 6 version that's coming out. It's available already in Drupal 5, but it's going to be upgraded to 6. I'm not sure what the timeline for that is, though. And then also the Drupal 5 themes book that came out in December is going to be upgraded to Drupal 6, and I don't know what the timeline on that one is either, but those two are definitely coming out in 6 versions at some point. Those are the only books I know about, but that sounds like a lot to me.
That's a lot of books.
It's the year of the Drupal book.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get authors or people who have more information about release dates and things to comment on the podcast. When you provide updates.
Yeah, that would be good.
There's also another book I know about that's in the works, but I don't know if I can talk about it yet. But really exciting, because it's something that we really, really need in Drupal. So I'll just leave it at that. And then
you should find out if you could talk about it, Angie.
I'm trying. I'm trying to ping everybody, and nobody is responding to me. So.
Well, so there's an exciting book out there that
maybe tell you about it on
exciting
the
as ours.
Tell you about it on the next Lullabot podcast.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, Summer of Code is getting started. Always a huge big deal in Drupal land. The Google people have a program called the Google Summer of Code, in which college students, someone correct me if I'm wrong here, college students, you have to be in university, are able to be sponsored to work on open source projects over the summer.
Yep.
Summer of Code, open source code. And there are a lot of different projects that participate. Drupal is one of the top ones with the top number of people, a project might be, I want to build an exporter for, I don't know, Drupal, or an importer for Drupal, or some type of, you know, it's usually a project of some type. And I'm sure Angie can talk about some of the projects that in the past that have been particularly successful. Angie, Byron, a.k.a. Webchick, a.k.a. Angie, who's on this podcast, actually started as a Google Summer of Code student and has since become what we call the Queen of Drupal. and so it's a big deal. And I guess I saw an announcement somewhere. If you actually add up the total number, there are, 21 projects, each receiving $5,000. The student, I guess, receives $4,500 for their work over the summer, and then there's $500 that goes to the mentors and or the Drupal Association. And it adds up to what, $110,000, $120,000?
$105,000.
Yes, that's the proper math if you're going to do math. Oh, I'm not so fancy with my math. $105,000. The Google is basically donating to the Drupal project. This is cool.
Yeah. Some pretty awesome stuff has come out of Summer of Code over the years. So, and I mean, Angie can probably talk more about all the projects, but I'm mentoring one project to do to basically implement an OpenID extension that I'm pretty excited about. So it's a great way to get new people embedded and involved in the community, as well as just get some extra code written that, you know, and get some movement happening on fronts where there isn't any yet. So.
Yeah. Any highlight projects, Angie, that come to mind?
Nate, you also have one, right?
Yeah. I'll be mentoring a project that will be building a icons module for Drupal. So basically a framework for putting icons in all of Drupal, which, as we all know, Drupal is sadly lacking in any sort of visual representation of any of its data types or admin panels or anything like that. So hopefully we'll be seeing some really great stuff come out of that project.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, there's some really, really exciting. So this year, more than any other year in the past that I can remember, it was really, really tough to limit down the list of projects. We had at least 30 that we would have gladly given slots to, but basically Google makes a decision based on their secret algorithm and a bunch of other things. It basically says, this project's getting this much.
Google and, I mean, and their algorithms.
We did really, Google and their algorithms.
We get a lot as it is.
We did. We got 21 slots, which is the fifth most of all mentoring organizations, which includes like KDE and Apache and, you know, crazy, you know, umbrella organizations that do everything. So we're really, really happy with the slot allocations that we got. And so the mix of projects is really great. There's core improvements. So for example, Aaron Novak, who wrote the Feed API, is going to be writing a new aggregator module for core. Thank God, because boy, do we ever need that. There's also a student who's going to be working on an automated module and theme updater, but in a secure way, because we've had module and theme updaters before, but they were just like, change your entire Drupal repository to be writable. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. And basically, this is mentored by Greg Kanadison, who's a member of the security team. So the plan is to get a secure module and theme updating thing. So basically, that people could automatically, instead of having to like download a tarball and extract it and upload it to their site, blah, 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 this would basically do all that for them through a web interface and let them test out the changes before they deploy them.
But in a secure way, not like...
Yes. Not like Joomla, is that what you said?
Yeah.
No, Joomla, actually, 1.5 anyway, does have a secure FTP sort of process that they do this with.
At one point, though, there was some...
At one point, though, yeah, it was basically make your entire Joomla installation writable by everyone. And it's like, oh, no, no, no.
Because yeah, they actually invested a lot of work in building an infrastructure that allows you to use, like, a completely side channel unrelated to, like, the web interface to handle those triggered updates and stuff. And it's really cool, and hopefully we get the end result of the Summer of Code project is going to be a similarly secure system that works inside of all the needs of like the Drupal system.
Yeah,
that's very cool. And more. Is there a place that people can go to find out more about Summer of Code? And is this the third year? Is that right? The third year?
This is the summer? Fourth year.
Fourth
actually.
Summer. Yep. Goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
And is there a website where people can go to find out more about this and root and cheer, even if they're not participating, and or get geared up to apply for next year?
Yeah, if you go to groups.drupal.org/SOC-2008, that's where all the activity is going on. We're right now sort of collating a list of like main project wikis, so each student's going to kind of keep track of their project in a single wiki page throughout the course of the summer. So it makes it a little bit easier to track what's going on and stuff like that. So, but yeah, just want to quick run through a couple other ones. Document import modules. This will allow you to take OpenOffice or Word documents and potentially other things like Excel spreadsheets and stuff and make them nodes, which is pretty cool. There's one I'm going to be answering about making a usability testing suite. So basically we can make any Drupal installation, able to perform usability testing like we did back in the University of Minnesota, and report results back to a central tracking service. So basically we can try these new Drupal 7 features out on people and figure out if they're actually usability improvements or not before we roll out the final release, which is pretty exciting. What else? I don't know. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. DrupalTap is going to be working on improving the help system. There's a bunch of search-related stuff that's going to be done, a bunch of views-related stuff. One project is to basically make it so that any view on your site you can output as a widget, and you could use, you know, export and use on a Facebook site or NetVibes or something like that. And, you know, also being able to export views as, like, you know, XML or JSON or anything like that in order to interoperate with other stuff. So, yeah, lots of cool projects. We're really excited. The students seem like a great batch this year. We kind of made them, we forced them to sort of talk about their projects publicly this year. So part of the application process was post about your thing to this group and defend it when people start saying, oh, there's a module that does that already, or, you know, whatever, or how are you going to deal with this such and such issue? And I think that process really helped us get a really nice batch of applications, because it really was tough trying to figure out which ones were the ones that were going to take the mere 21 slots. So, yeah, I'm really excited, and congratulations to everyone who got accepted, and congratulations to everyone, even if you didn't, because you all did a great job writing your applications, and I hope to still see you around. So, yeah.
Cool. There's also been a lot of... So, we're just catching up with Drupal news, and there's a lot of it happening. There's just been a lot of, like, news about Drupal this week. There was an award? I'm trying to find the Webware Award, Webware 100, Drupal won again, I guess. Is this right? We've won it before.
Yeah. It's that award system that basically they pick 100 projects or products in various categories. There's no, like, top winner, but we were one of the ones selected in the publication, I believe, is the category of the publication group. So pretty exciting, because there's 100.
I think.
Is it publishing?
It's publishing and photos, because, like, Flickr and stuff is in there as well.
And publishing and photos.
So they just make a bucket with 100 things in it. We made it into the bucket! Hooray!
we were one of 100 to make it into the bucket out of, I think it was 2,000 projects that were voted on, so...
Right on. And there was also an article in Business Week where Dries Buitart, the project leader of Drupal and recent co-founder of Acquia, is noted for what do we call, what are they calling him? Young entrepreneur?
Again, it's another kind of selection of people. This is top young entrepreneurs, where young is described as someone under 30. So Dries,
very limited view of young, I just want to say.
Young, you know, is in the heart, is it not?
Yeah. lucky he launched Acquia this year. Next year he'd be ineligible.
Ah, yes. So yeah, that's you can find links to both of those things on the front page of Drupal.org right now. Of course, if you're listening to this, you know, in the future, then go page back a couple of pages. Top-notch themes! I love the top-notch themes! Has anyone checked out, if you haven't already, check out the top-notch themes. They are truly top-notch. topnotchthemes.com.
There are many notches, and they are indeed on the top one.
Well, yes. If you were, you know, if you had to break things down into notches, you know, we don't like to get too particular, but I would say one of the top notches, yes. Our friends Steph and Chris have launched topnotchthemes.com.
So here's a question. And I'm posing this just as a hypothetical to the rest of my fellow Lullabots and to our listeners. Say you want a theme for your website, or you're making a website for a client or something. What different options do you have? Like, is there anything between, say, go and download something from Drupal or go and grab something from a free theme site versus hire a designer and build one from scratch for what could be a relatively exorbitant sum? What lies in that middle?
Is this a rhetorical question?
It is a rhetorical question.
Oh, okay.
That's actually exactly what Chris and Steph are targeting with TopNotch Themes. The idea is that rather than going for the, you know, $25 to download some CSS files kind of market that there are a lot of theming sites out there for, they're basically investing the time to build actual ready-to-run Drupal themes, not just HTML and CSS that you have to convert into a theme yourself. And they even have different themes that have already been pre-customized for different kinds of uses.
Yeah, that's a neat thing that they've got, is they've got sites where it's sort of like, okay, you want to have a view that's like this and show this in this block, and you know, you want to show the latest, I don't know, product in this block up here at the top. So, you know, I mean, I've always said that one of my sayings is content defines design. And one of the problems with generalized Drupal themes a lot of the times is that they are tried to be generalized, not knowing what the content underlying will be, and end up sort of failing due to their generalness needing to be generalized.
That's actually one of the things that they really are working hard on. But like, if you buy a theme that is listed as like for e-commerce, actually comes with like CSS classes and styling for the stuff produced by like Uber Cart and stuff like that. So a lot of the hand tweaking that you have to do, even with a stock theme off of Drupal.org, is something that they have already done.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, right. So they're basically saying, okay, we're going to sort of guess at the types of content that people are going to create, and then we'll create appropriate designs for that. And, it's really cool. Topnotchthemes.com, and we're excited about it. Excited to see some, what I would call, top-notch themes for Drupal.
We're just not going to stop talking about the whole notches thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm done. I'm going to stop talking about that. Talk about other things. We were going through just sort of doing a catching up podcast. We figured we'd sort of go through and see some of the recent modules that had been posted. And I don't know. I mean, so for anyone that isn't already watching this, if you go to drupal.org/taxonomy/term/14, what we refer to as taxonomy term 14, you can get an RSS feed, and that's the new module projects that are being created on Drupal.org. Lots of times people are creating the project and they haven't actually finished their code yet, or they're creating it just to sort of save the namespace or whatever. So you get all kinds of stuff through there. It doesn't necessarily mean that these are the finished, polished modules, but it's a good place to sort of see the new things that are coming in and kind of keep them filed away in the back of your mind. Like, I think that there's a module that does that. And there were some interesting modules that came out recently. There was this GMAP Latlon module that uses the Google Maps API to basically get you the latitude and longitude of an address. This is a Barry Jaspin module that Acquia, it's the first module that I've seen that said buy Acquia on it, which is kind of exciting. That's a neat one to check out. I haven't checked that out yet. I haven't checked out most of these. just wanted to point people to them. Any other modules that you guys have seen recently that are or written recently that are kind of interested in and worth noting?
Well, funny that you should ask that.
Jeff Eaton, you've written a module? Do tell.
Oh, I've not actually written a new module, but the Amazon API module that I wrote a while back has recently been updated and is in the process of being updated to take advantage of the new views and CPA features that are offered in Drupal 6. And it's not so much about, you know, the cool stuff in Amazon as the cool stuff that CCK and CCK2 and Vue 2 are really starting to enable. There's a lot of capabilities that just weren't there previously, like ease of, you know, building a grid of, you know, grid of random book titles that people really like on their website that displays on a particular page and stuff like that. They're actually going to be really straightforward to put together using a combination of Vue and Amazon module and CC. I think we're just going to see a definite accelerating over the next, you know, 4 or 5 months as people really start ramping up the speed on the new capabilities that are there.
Cool. Yeah. James, I was looking through and I saw your new OpenID provider module. I'm excited about that. It's kind of the other side of the OpenID core stuff, right? It's sort of the server.
Yeah, totally. So we've talked a lot about the OpenID core support in Drupal 6, and that is sort of the client-side support, or in OpenID speak, we call it the relying party support. So essentially, allowing people to log in using OpenID on your site. But the other half of that is called OpenID provider support, which is basically providing URLs that people can use as their OpenID. And in 41 hours of travel coming back from Australia, I had enough uninterrupted time to kind of finish up and clean up some work that I'd had sort of half finishing. I wrote a bunch of code for this back in Drupal 4.7 and had it kind of lingering around in various half working states since then, and finally had a nice focused chunk of time to get things ported to 6 and get some code checked in. I haven't had an official release yet. There's still a couple things that I'm working to clean up, but it'll be happening over the next days / weeks. So pretty exciting because that will complete sort of Drupal's OpenID support as well as setting the stage for the Attribute Exchange extension work that is the Summer of Code project.
Aha!
So it all ties together.
Yes, it's part of your big plan.
As if I had one. Yeah, part of the master plan.
Other interesting, a few interesting and crazy modules. There's one that particularly, I don't know why I'm so taken with this. The plagiarism checker module, which is at drupal.org/project/authenticate, which doesn't really seem to make any sense. But it's like, I don't know, I guess it's for if you've got people posting things to your site and you want to make sure that they're not plagiarized. There's some APIs out there and stuff for checking them, which is sort of interesting. Earl Miles, the brain trust that is Earl Miles. Whenever Earl does anything, it's like, ooh, better figure that out because it's probably pretty cool. He has written a module called Advanced Help. That's new, which uses HTML files. I don't know. It also might not be so great. I don't know. Just because it's Earl doesn't mean it's awesome. But it might just mean that he's solving some problem that he needs to solve for some specific situation. But still.
Yeah, it's because the new views too for Drupal 6 has gotten. Or he's really working hard on really improving the UI, and he found that in his new UI, the help system that Drupal has doesn't really fit in real well with it, and so this advanced help module is basically right now it's the views help, but ultimately he's hoping on making this the new help system for Drupal.
Interesting. Ah, very interesting.
One of the advantages of it is that it's possible for a module to define things like I'd like a help icon right here next to this widget so that if someone clicks it, a window pops up with more explanatory text, not necessarily just to throw a bunch of help text at the top of the screen in addition to the existing UI.
Oh, well, that's very advanced and very helpful.
And in addition to that, because it uses external flat HTML files to store the actual help, translating help is a lot easier because you just have language-specific subfolders that contain the named help files, and it's smart enough to be able to pull in, like, the Italian help text for this particular widget or something like that without actually having to have the help files be actual PHP codes that have to be parsed and translated.
Ah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Cool. So, in talking about Views 2, and so is Views, will there be Views 1 for Drupal 6? Or are we now Drupal 6 equals
no.
Views 2?
Yep. Ah. Earl has said that he won't work on Views 1 for 6 and he won't accept any patches for Views 1 for 6.
He will generally look down his nose at you if you talk about it.
There might be someone who ports it, and there might be a patch for it in the queue, but it will never be downloadable from the Views project page.
So, okay. So, does that mean that Views 2 is out for Drupal 6? What do we got going on? I mean, I guess we're trying to sort of answer the question. People are wondering. They're listening. They're wondering, can I go with Drupal 6 yet? Are we there? Can I do it?
Depends on
I'd say, yeah, and it depends on your timeline. I'd say if you're starting a site now, you're starting a site today, but the site doesn't have to be out for another 2 or 3 months, I'd say you'd really be wasting a lot of time building a site on Drupal 5, actually, because what you're going to end up doing is making this entire site in Drupal 5, and then 6 months from now, no one's going to be working on Drupal 5 anymore. And so if your timeline is in 3 months you want a site to be out, I would say stick with Drupal 6 or start working on Drupal 6 because by the time that your site is actually released, no one will be working on Drupal 5 anymore.
Hmm.
I shouldn't say no one. I should just say the emphasis will be on Drupal 6.
Yeah.
So things are moving quickly to Drupal 6. You're feeling like most modules are, there's like at least sort of an issue in the queue that's an upgrade for the module. For most, shall we say, active module projects.
I would say that's true for the most part. However, a big holdup, because this weekend I put together a site called Planet SoC, which is just that, we put together a site every year, the Drupal community, so that we can aggregate all of the feeds from all the various Summer of Code students and mentors and stuff like that. So basically, the site is core plus simple feed module, and that's it. The problem is that because Views so far isn't at a stable release, a lot of submodules, or not even submodules, but a lot of modules that provide Views integration for their own modules haven't updated yet because the APIs might still be in flux and stuff like that. So for example, both Feed API and Simple Feed module, although the core of them work on 6, the Views integration doesn't, which in the case of certain modules, the way they're architected is essential to the module actually functioning. Organic Groups is another one where the module itself could be ported at any time, but the problem is that it has a dependency on the Views module in order to display basic stuff. So I had to actually back out of 6 and go back to 5 in a hurry because things weren't quite in the state that they wanted. But again, I failed Nate's test where I needed a site up this weekend and not 2 or 3 months from now. But I do agree with him that this situation is improving on a daily basis and that within, I would say, 4 to 6 weeks or so, everything should be probably back to normal.
Well, technically. I mean, Views is actually coming right up on a beta release for the Views module for Drupal 6, which is a pretty significant milestone. That basically indicates that it's feature complete, and there aren't, massive restructuring changes that are going to be happening, but that it's still under testing. So I think that's really going to be one of the tipping points for more modules redoing their Views integration and starting to get things clicking in. CCK already has really solid Views integration for Drupal 6 already. Glycshed and Earl Miles have been keeping in sync so that as new Beuse features comes out and as new versions of CCK come out, they keep in sync with each other. And you can actually do right now a lot of the straightforward add this field, make a view that shows those fields. All those kinds of things are in there. And even a lot of things that you couldn't do in Drupal 5. Like when you have a node reference field, it's possible to show fields from the referenced node in addition to the node that you're normally displaying in the view. Lots of cool things. It's just all those additional add-on modules that sort of made a cloud around CCK and views. Those are the ones that now have to get upgraded along with it.
Cool. Yeah. So basically you're saying CCK is CCK out for no. Drupal 6? Yes?
There's a downloadable dev version, but an official release hasn't yet been released.
Not an official release.
They are waiting for views on that, so that at the very least they want to make sure that, you know, views is stable.
So these things will probably come out sort of coordinated at the same time.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Although I'd say CCK is very much in the same state as views is in terms of progress. It's actually quite stable and usable. Core CCK parts are all done and have really sweet, nice new features like all multiple value fields are now drag and drop resortable, and all multi-value fields all now have a nice Ajax more button that when you click it, it gives you another field with no reload. And then modules that are dependent upon CCK, those are the ones that are really not quite there yet. Image field currently has a patch in the queue that is functional and completely working, but our maintainers for a lot of those modules that depend on CCK haven't yet started building sites on CCK, and so that's where their holdup is.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think there's just sort of a Drupal 5 was sort of the tipping point for Drupal, in my opinion. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll look at Drupal 6 and it'll be a whole new tipping point of something else. But the majority of sites that are out there are running Drupal 5, and the majority of sites that were built on Drupal were built on Drupal 5. I'm going to go as far as saying that. And so, you know, for sites that are out there and already running, if they've been running for a year or less, the whole process of upgrading, you know, I mean, a big site, you know, maybe like Sony or something like that, it's going to be slow for them to get up to Drupal 6, right? I mean, you know, they've got a lot of moving parts to coordinate, and especially when the modules like Views and CCK are not like rock solid for Drupal 6 yet, there's still, I just think that there's still a lot of sort of momentum happening in the Drupal 5 land of things. And so I think that this transition from Drupal 5 to Drupal 6 is going to be a little bit slower than, you know, just in terms of like the majority of modules and the majority of sites getting moved over, I think it's going to be slower than from 4.7 to 5, for example.
Yeah. No, but it is about the same as 4.6 to 4.7. And what really... Actually, it's not that bad, but the holdup on upgrading is about as bad, though. People, the form API was a tremendous thing to have to overcome for module developers. In Drupal 6, there's not that much API-wise that needs to change. It's dependency on these sort of critical, you know, contrib modules that might as well be core modules because everybody uses them type of stuff. But what ultimately moved people to Drupal 4.7 from Drupal 4.6 was that you could do all kinds of crazy crap in Drupal 4.7 that you couldn't do in Drupal 4.6. And I think you'll see that people will migrate to Drupal 6 because contrib authors can write even more great modules that they couldn't write on Drupal 5 because the APIs weren't there. Like Views 2 couldn't have been written in Drupal 5, probably.
Well, the new theming, the new theming stuff in Drupal 6
is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really great. I mean, even for just module developers, the stuff that you can expose to at the theme level and stuff is really cool. Yeah. And I mean, so, and I find that, I mean, these transition times are when, I don't know, there's a lot of turnover in who's maintaining modules and stuff like that. I know basically, you know, as people have been coming to me and saying, hey, when are you going to, I've got a patch to upgrade your thing to Drupal 6 and I've done a whole bunch of work and I really enjoy this module, I usually go back to them and say, well, are you interested in helping maintain it? And so I gain new maintainers of my modules and I can focus on other things. And so there's a fair amount of that, but I think also like some entire modules, start to take this opportunity to kind of deprecate themselves in one way or another. And like sort of new methods of things, emerge. I mean, I think one thing that we've been noticing is, well, just in general, the tendency of things to move towards CCK and becoming, you know, using CCK, as a way of, you know, in the past, I think a good example is the audio and video modules, which were in the past their own modules, their own content types, that defined, you know, an audio content type or a video content type. And now there's, I think, more movement towards things like the embedded media field. So I think that there's a lot of movement, towards CCK, but also, I mean, just people are, you know, it's a good time to abandon stuff. Have you folks noticed this direction?
I know I'm abandoning stuff. I think I just might have scared some people.
Yeah, well,
coding API now totally unsupported. I'm joking.
Oh. I mean, certainly on the image front, there's been a lot. You know, we've spent kind of a release or two with the split between image module and image field and image cache. And I mean, I think now, I mean, Nate's been heavily involved in you know, at least some thinking, if not some working, to try to kind of unify that. And yeah, I mean, I think as CCK has gotten much older and come a lot further, there's sort of a lot more momentum to shift towards doing field level stuff. So, yeah, and that's you know, both embedded media field as well as actual, you know, field types for the various media.
So you're saying that you think image module is going to become a CCK dependent? Have you upgraded image module, or has image module been upgraded for Drupal 6 yet?
It is being upgraded as kind of a backwards compatibility, but I think that the more interesting long-term thing is some of the stuff that I've only been involved in kind of a discussion level, but really it's being kind of driven by Nate, with some varying help from Andrew Morton, basically to shift image module to being a field as opposed to, you know, more like image field, as opposed to being its own node type. So, which was kind of the plan all along. I mean, image module just predates CCK considerably. I mean, it's one of the public modules around, and you know, was around before CCK. So
I remember image module. My grandpappy would sit me on his knee and say, "Let me tell you about image module."
What you can't see, because this is only audio, is all my gray hair.
So the for people who are not long time podcast listeners, James Walker was the original author of the image module. Well, so, not the original author, the maintainer.
Technically, yeah. I mean, I it was sort of abandoned when around. What was that? 4.5, maybe. It was sort of unmaintained, and one of those that a lot of, you know, I mean, most sites were using. And back then, it was an even higher percentage. You know, basically, anybody who wanted to put an image in their content or on the site, you know, I mean, upload module wasn't in core yet. You know, they're really, you know, see, this was before CCK, and they're really, I mean, we're talking time of the dinosaurs here. And so there's this image module that had been written before I got out to the community, but it kind of always been around, but was no longer maintained and it was buggy, didn't really work. And so I kind of rewrote it and relaunched it and maintained it for a while. But it's been, you know, as CCK has kind of risen to fame and popularity and has really become the way people are building sites for node content, you know, the image module and a lot of the other kind of node level types have been sort of in a weird holding pattern. And so, I mean, I think you know, I think over the Drupal 6 release, we're going to see a lot more of the move to field level stuff. And hopefully some unification. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, the other kind of common example is the event module, you know, versus kind of the date field and calendar view type.
Right.
I don't know personally if there's a similar effort to kind of unify those. But certainly with the image stuff, it's, you know, I mean, basically, you know, image field and image cache have become, you know, you can do everything. You can do an image module and more with those. And so having both and dividing the focus like that can no longer makes sense.
Right. And so James is the image module guy, and then Nate has done a lot of work with image field module and has become, well, I refer to Nate as the image field guy, but I'm sure, you know. That's up.
There'd be people that disagree with that.
But when we get together for workshops, we all, you know, get together in the same place. One thing we like to do is, you know, just like fill up like a pit with mud and get Nate and James in there. And it's like image versus image field. It's good stuff. Like
survey versus web form. James and I had a lot of overlap.
Yeah. Nate's basically James 2.0. He does everything I do better and faster. So.
Oh, no, I do everything just based on CCAN views.
and WebForm won that mud fight, didn't it?
Yeah,
it did. Yeah, which, I mean, I think it had won long before it had officially won. But, Survey was another one that been around since Drupal 4.4 or so, and so
this is kind of an interesting example. I mean, sometimes these older modules, rather than upgrading them, or more importantly, I guess, rather than coming up with an upgrade path for them, because it's so much of a reconcepting to turn them into something that works and is more abstracted with views and CCK, just a new module will emerge, and sometimes it becomes that's the one that's better to use, even though the old one has a great, what we call a namespace, basically the name. It is using that space of that name, so there's not another module called image module. It's a great name. I want images on my site, so I download image module, but maybe that isn't the right way to do it, because the image module just had that name because it was from when that name was available. And there are some others. I mean, there's new methods of location module, I think, you know, is another one that there are new and arguably better ways of doing that stuff. You were talking about event module. Yeah, stuff like that. I can imagine that it's probably really frustrating for new people trying to figure out sort of what are the old deprecated ways and what are the newer, hipper, cooler ways that the cool kids are doing. Yeah. I don't know. Our book, the O'Reilly book, we'll cover a bunch of that. Ask around. Yeah. I mean, it used to be that, like, I don't know. You look at the date of the project, but now that doesn't tell you much. I don't know. Anybody have any recommendation for people around those things?
I think in general, the kind of long-term vision is to look at things that work with, you know, that work with CCK and views. Probably, I mean, that's the one kind of easy guideline.
So really, you just say, like, if it works with CCK and views, use that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that, as a good kind of broad brush stroke first pass, because, you know, I mean, CCK is, you know, on a trajectory of indeterminate length towards core, kind of the ultimate goal is to have CCK out as part of core and probably also some portion of views, because they've both proven to be really highly successful ways to build sites, you know, flexibly and easily. And so kind of, you know, aligning with those as a good future-proofing bet is a good first pass. But yeah, beyond there, I mean, you know, it's yeah, it comes down to more what kind of what your exact needs are, what your ability to contribute and help with things is, and stuff like that.
Cool. Well, we were going to talk a little bit about kind of what's going on for Drupal 7 in the future and stuff like that, but let's put that off for a future podcast. This podcast has gone on long enough, I think. We'll get into some of the new stuff. I mean, you know, the development for Drupal 7 is happening now, and some things are starting to get in, and there's definitely some directions and stuff, and so we can talk to people about what's happening over there in a future podcast. Anybody have anything else to add before we call this thing a podcast?
Australia, we love you.
Yeah, great workshop in Australia. Went really well. Lots of fun, right?
And
that was a yes. Or that was a Australian yes.
Don't worry. I think we're confusing the Australian yes with the pirate yes.
Oh, no. How about Australian pirate?
That could work.
Anything else? Anybody else? Anything else? Going once? Twice? Okay.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.